Thanks for joining us for this third and final installment of Tech Trends Season 1 Highlights. This is episode 3, in which we're focusing solely on the topic of technical debt within the federal government and civil agencies. Let's dive right in.
And we're back with a deep dive this time into the concept of technical debt and how it specifically applies to the public sector, you know, namely U.S. federal government and the DOD.
And could you maybe just give us a little bit of a refresher into exactly what technical debt is?
So technical debt is the implied cost incurred when agencies do not fix problems, you know, that will affect them in the future. You know, incurring the technical debt causes problems, you know, like get kind of worse over time. The longer the debt builds up, the more costly it becomes to rectify. It's kind of like financial debt. You know, if you don't pay it off quickly, the interest accumulates, and in this case, the extra work and costs kind of need, you know, really kind of are needed to maintain and fix the issues. In the government sector, you know, technical debt is a huge issue. The technical debt ceiling, you know, is getting larger every year, and it's really starting to impact agencies and really the ability to support their missions. So the, you know, the several ways that the technical debt can kind of manifest, you know, in the government also presents kind of a unique challenge. You know, the first issue to consider is the legacy systems. There are, you know, several ways that technical debt can manifest in the federal government. You know, these present, you know, very unique challenges. The first issue to consider is legacy systems. Many government systems have been in operation for decades. These older systems are, you know, often expensive to maintain, less efficient, end of life, end of support, hard to find parts if needed, really can, you know, have serious security risks. The incompatibility of these legacy issues, you know, with newer technologies is another issue that we constantly see. Replacing, upgrading them can, you know, have a big money on a task. Large projects, you know, are going to be required significant resources, potentially disrupting, you know, the critical services that are in place today. And this leads to an accumulation of the technical debt that they have.
With the third characteristic that I mentioned, the critical nature of some of these systems, that could turn into a really big problem.
It can. You know, we also have other issues. You know, another issue is procurement and bureaucracy. Procurement, you know, the processes can be complex, lengthy, and this kind of hinders, you know, the swift adoption of new technologies. We even see systems becoming outdated during their procurement process itself. Adds right back to the technical debt.
It sounds like, a problem that needs a systemic reform. Would that be a correct assessment?
Absolutely. Budget constraints contribute to the technical debt. Limited and shrinking budgets can force compromises. So we see that a lot. For instance, you know, a department might, you know, lack the funds to invest in a modern, scalable solution that's kind of really needed. Instead, they decide to kind of patch an existing system just to get by, leading to more technical debt. They basically kick the can down the road. You know, the perception that the less risky way out is to kind of keep the old system because it works. It's something that, you know, many decisions kind of hinge on, you know, when in fact you're kind of setting yourself up for failure, really kind of support your missions in the future. There's a lot of mission gaps at that point, especially when they're really needed. You know, I also kind of see that the dispersion of funds being tied, you know, if you're looking at the DOD side, just the base level to maintain and upgrade systems, you know, that could be really kind of pulled into a higher level that can be supported, you know, over an effort to consolidate upgrades and use to kind of redesign and implement solutions that can be utilized across the region, OCONUS, CONUS, et cetera. So
besides budget allocation, which is, you know, always the one of the most important pieces, but often, you know, also one of the biggest hurdles, I think the other thing would be security is something that we run into a lot. Do you want to talk about that?
But yeah, security considerations are huge. So, you know, the government systems, you know, they often require the highest levels of security. This leads to the technical debt when, you know, meeting security needs forces the compromise that we see in other areas, kind of like the usability or efficiency, you know, so the balance that needs to be kind of considered and putting the correct roadmap, you know, to be able to meet the federal and agency requirements is pretty challenging.
And that's really a tough balance to strike, isn't it? I mean, we want our systems to be efficient and easy to use, but we also want the highest security. And those two things are often at odds, right?
And, you know, there's also something we can't overlook is just the regulatory compliance that we deal with. So the need to comply with multiple regulations, it leads to the additional technical debt throughout this process. You know, when systems, you know, are adapted to kind of meet new regulations, it can often kind of result in a quick fix that, you know, raise complexity reduces the manageability of the system, just access to it in general. You know, you kind of need to really account for things like dealing with NISBOM, ISO directives, FISMA, APL, ATOs, RMF packages, kind of all add into the unknown risk from a scheduling perspective when you do large projects, you know, that really kind of impact that technical debt in a negative way because it really extends the process.
How can government entities tackle these kinds of challenges? I mean, they seem monumental. You mentioned a strategic approach, a hypothetical five-year plan that would involve assessment, execution, and continuous improvement. Do you want to get into that in a little more detail?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a complex challenge. You know, more of a systematic, strategic approach, you know, can definitely make a difference. The assessment phase would be the first year of the plan, you know, dedicating to identifying all the systems out there that are at the highest levels of technical debt.
Right. So with, as with, I think all things really, all challenges, the first step is to clearly identify the problem and to understand, you know, the limitations and also the assets that you have available, right?
Yeah, you really want to kind of identify the high-risk systems. You know, they're mission critical, they're outdated, and really have the high maintenance costs. It's important to engage, you know, with the IT personnel kind of responsible for these systems to understand the very specific issues and dependencies that it might have. And this stage also kind of involves the risk evaluation, assessment of current IT expenditures that are on the table, collaboration with other departments and agencies, you know, kind of facing similar challenges as well.
And so once we've defined the scope of the problem and we've identified or collaborated with, you know, various entities and parties involved, I would assume the next step then would be planning, correct?
Yeah. So, you know, planning is where we would go through the insights from the assessment that was developed with the strategic plan. This kind of involves setting the clear goals, establishing necessary requirements, and creating a dedicated team to move forward. Yeah, the plan could aim, you know, to phase out into life systems, consolidate non-uniform systems, you know, streamline the procurement side. That's a very key piece to this plan, and leverage, you know, modern IT solutions, cloud technologies, managed services, transformation things that we've been talking about over the last few months.
And so once the planning is done, I would assume that the final step would be execution, correct?
Yeah. So the execution phase would kind of span, you know, 2 to 3 years. You know, it's about kind of bringing the plan to life. This could involve upgrading and phasing out systems, consolidating the non-uniform systems into shared designs and services, kind of enterprise-wide solutions, not base level or kind of department-based solution sets, improving procurement process, which again, that's the very key piece to this, and shifting towards kind of the overall architecture that needs to be put into place, you know, that really kind of goes on the cloud side where we're not going to do the maintain aspect of the legacy systems. Everything is updated automatically. We don't have to worry about that. You know, the managed services were feasible, especially where the technical issues are going to be there for, you know, streamlining the correct resources. You know, also there's going to be a strong focus on just ensuring high security standards, you know, and really kind of dealing with the regulations that are in place.
So that sounds like an extensive roadmap and a very clear, succinct plan of action, but clearly a strategic and disciplined approach is necessary, correct?
It's not an overnight process. You know, it won't be without the challenges, you know, but with a well-defined strategic plan, you know, a commitment, you know, all the way from the top, you know, the federal government can make significant strides in reducing technical debt and increasing efficiency and security.
And that's the end of our discussion on technical debt and our third and final installment in Tech Trends Season 1 Highlights. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll be back next week to start Season 2 and discuss more critical issues and topics within government technology for federal government and civil agencies. Thanks, and have a great day.